Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Love people.
Yeah.
And Meemaw.
Better.
Lord, she's my advocate.
Yes, she is.
Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. My, what a wonderful presence of the Lord we felt in this service already.
All right.
Amen. I enjoyed the worship service.
Amen.
Enjoyed the presence of the Lord during the worship service.
All right.
And I hope that you did also.
Yes.
Amen. I hope you felt the presence of the Lord.
All right.
Amen. We serve a mighty God.
Yeah, we do.
And He's righteous. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was on our way, already left the house and was on our way to the church and run off and forgotten my Bible and my notebook and everything at the house. And my wife was in a hurry and she didn't really see the need of going back and getting it. So I grabbed another Bible out of my office at the church, which is not one I use very often anymore. Along with the last few years it's come about, I've lost a lot of hair and a little bit of vision. So I can't read it too well. It's small print. Amen. I don't know what happens. Age creeps up on us all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of y'all don't look like you aged any at all.
Go ahead.
Some of us have aged for ourselves and you, I guess. Praise the Lord. Amen. I do have a thought in my heart tonight. I actually, when Brother Bass talked to me several weeks ago, I began to meditate and pray over this and ask the Lord to direct us. And this is the only thing that I have felt, and I can't get away from it. And I couldn't find the notes to it, and I've preached it one other time in our home church several months ago, and I had to retype it all up, and then I had all kinds of problems trying to get it off of my computer to paper because I didn't have my printer with me. And Brother Bass and them, I'm not fortunate enough to be able to use a Macintosh, so I can't transfer it too easily. Anyway, Brother Tim graciously came through for me. Amen. The book of 2 Peter, the third chapter, and the 9th verse. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Let me say it is an honor to be here in service with you tonight.
All right.
Amen. Be in the house of the Lord with you all. Good to see all of our family members and all of the family. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider anybody in-laws and outlaws. Everybody's just family. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises." Aren't you thankful for that tonight?
Right.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. "As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If we took the time, and I don't want to take a lot of time talking about what Peter was speaking about here, because I've got a lot I want to get into here in just a few moments. But there was a lot of those scoffers that were around hollering and crying and picking fun and saying, "Where is the day of the return of the Lord?
Right.
Where's that blessed day that you guys have been singing and preaching about for so long? Where's it at? I haven't seen no sign." And Peter, one more time, came back and said, "God is not slack concerning His promises."
Right.
There's a day coming. I do believe with all of my heart there's a day coming when Jesus Christ is going to split those eastern skies. This is not in vain. The hope that we have is not in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, "Not slack as some men count slackness, but as long suffering." He's a very long suffering God. We ought to be thankful for that here tonight. Every single one of us sitting on these pews ought to be thankful that our God is a long suffering God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that our God's not like me and not like you. Because there's some of us would never be here because we'd have gave up on Him a long time ago. But our God is a long-suffering God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Long-suffering to us were, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why don't we lift our voices to the Lord right now? Let's ask the Lord to talk to us here tonight. God, we need the Holy Ghost to talk to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would move in this place. Touch every heart, every mind. Let the word of the Lord come alive to us tonight. I pray that your anointing would rest upon us in this service. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies today. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Ephesians 3 and verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I write afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful tonight that I have a part and that I have been engrafted in. Praise the Lord. And I'm not an outsider, but I am in the family of God. Praise the Lord. I believe every single, there's probably not a Jew sitting on these pews tonight. Amen. So there probably wasn't any of you by lineage or heritage that was afforded the opportunity to be in the family of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But now we're in a dispensation of grace. And every single one of us have the opportunity tonight, amen, as Gentiles to be a part of the family of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. To know that I'm not on the outside. I'm not an outlaw. But I'm part of the family here tonight. Amen. I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I am part of that, the chosen generation. Hallelujah. And a royal priesthood. Amen. 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 I wasn't lucky enough to, amen, to be born into something here today. I was born into it, but it was a second birth. Amen. And an altar of repentance in Jesus Christ saying, amen, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also, or if you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. I wasn't able to be at the table, but God prepared a place for me, and I'm thankful for it tonight. Amen. And verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose. I don't know if some of us realize that there is an eternal purpose. Praise the Lord. There is an eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, God has a purpose for every one of us here today. Now, I want to talk to us just, if I don't really know what to title this. I go so many different directions at times. I don't know what is appropriate, but I'm just going to, just for the sake of a title, title it Not by Chance. All right. Not by Chance. And I believe that most of us here understand what chance means. Galileo, a renowned mathematician, an astronomer, once reputed that mathematics is the language with which God wrote the universe. Now, most scientists and physicists agree that the laws of mathematics govern and control the physical realm of our three-dimensional world. It's kind of ironic to me that these men would recognize this, but yet they never recognize and they refuse to see that the laws that govern our spiritual world.
All right. Right. All right. Yeah.
God is the author of mathematics.
Yeah. Right.
He's the Lord. I'm just going to take my time here just a few moments. We may get wound up here in a little while, but I've only got 3 pages of notes, and if I preach them as fast as I used to preach them, I won't be up here but 10 minutes. Some of y'all would probably appreciate that. My wife told Sister Jonas, she said, I don't know what he's preaching, but he's been typing ever since he's been on the plane. So, but I type like this. So it takes me about 4 or 5 hours to type a decent little page. So. God is the author of the mathematics. Our first little lesson here tonight that we could take for that we could bring this to light and understanding is says God always adds or multiplies in the church.
Yeah. Right.
Satan always divides or subtracts. God's always in the business of adding to,
yes,
or multiplying,
yes,
or giving,
yeah,
in your life.
Yeah, right.
And if you're not careful, the Bible talks to us about being aware of the vices and the ways that the devil comes to us to try to take away from us,
right,
the things that God is trying to give us. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Probability is the mathematics of chance. It is simply the ratio of the favorable outcomes for a particular event to the total number of possible outcomes. Which means is if you have a ratio of 1, it means the event is bound to occur. If you have a ratio of 1/2, means that any given time it could go to one side or the other. You flip a coin, it could land on heads this time and tails the next. And if you have 50% chance of it landing one side or the other. Amen. That is, you're taking a chance, flipping it in the air. You don't know which side it's going to land on, but if it lands heads, you do that 2 or 3 times, you do it long enough, and you're going to realize that you're a 50-50 chance. Amen. We understand that there's a lot of things that in life that some people just take it, that it's just a probability, or it's just chance, or it just happened. We look at our world, for instance. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I don't believe in the Big Bang theory. It just happened, or it's just chance that everything's here. Our world, we understand the earth revolves around the sun in this elliptical orbit at just the right speed. If it was any faster or any slower, it just wouldn't work like it does. Amen. Not only is it at the right speed, but we're the exact distance that we need to be. If we were any closer, we would not be able to handle the heat of the sun. And if we were any further, amen, we wouldn't be able to handle the coldness because we would freeze it. Everything is just perfect in our world today. Amen. We look even not with just the sun. Every single piece of the puzzle is put in such perfect place and harmony one with another. You take the moon, for example. Our moon, it controls the gravity. Amen. And the tides of our oceans. Amen. Everything works together. It's not by chance that this has happened. Amen. It's not by just mere coincidence. Amen. That all of this functions and operates in the measure that it does. I'm going to tell you what it is. There was an architect a long time ago when nothing else was here. Amen. And he stepped out in the morning and said nothing and said, let there be. And there was. Hallelujah. You can believe a Big Bang theory if you want to. It takes more faith to believe in that garbage than it does to believe there's an all-powerful, all-knowing God that spoke it into existence by the power of His Word. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I just have to believe, amen, that there was a master designer. Amen, there was an architect called Jesus Christ. Amen, that stepped out on the morning of nothing and said, I want a church. And went in the means of building myself a church that'll worship me and that'll love me and that'll communicate with me and that'll fellowship with me. I'm going to build a beautiful garden. I'm going to build a beautiful world. And he began to speak into this existence, this beautiful planet and all the things that we have,
right,
the luxuries of today.
Right.
Praise the Lord. It's because there was a God,
yes,
that spoke it into existence. The Bible says, Colossians, the first chapter, the 15th verse, amen, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
All right.
For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you, without him, there is nothing. Without him, there is nothing. John, the first chapter, talks about it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That which is was spoken into existence by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We find it all through the pages of the Word of the Lord. Amen. Why? We have what we have. The invisible things, the visible things, everything that we have is because of the spoken Word of the Lord. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't coincidence, but it was ordained and divinely put together and done by the hands of our Master. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me talk a little bit more about chance here tonight. Luke. I can read these scriptures here. I may have to get somebody to read for me, or I may have to borrow somebody's glasses. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10. And the 30th verse. I want to go back to my first set of scriptures here tonight. The Bible talks about how it is the will of God that none perish, but that all should come to repentance. I come to preach a little bit tonight on soul winning. Hope that's all right. This is Wednesday night. This is just a Bible study on soul winning. But I want us to understand that there's nothing that God has a hand in that's just chance.
All right.
Nothing. Amen. It's not a coincidence.
All
right. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. God has a purpose, an eternal purpose.
Yes.
And the purpose that he has tonight is for his church.
All right.
To have revival. Praise the Lord. I don't believe that God's the will of God that we go weeks on end without somebody getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Without somebody getting baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that's the will of God. I believe it's the will of God that we continually have our baby beds full of new babies. Praise the Lord. Amen. Constantly praying people through to the Holy Ghost. That's the will of God. That's the desire of God. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Luke, the 10th chapter and the 30th verse, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And verse 31 said, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, and likewise, you know what likewise there means? And by chance. Amen. By chance, a priest came down and saw him, a man that was wounded, that needed help, that was about half dead. The scripture says a priest came by, a man of the cloth, amen. And by chance, he walked by and he saw him. And the Bible said that he walked to the other side of the road. Praise the Lord. Amen. And walked down by him. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, amen, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil, in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Amen. I want to point our attention here just a little while this evening. Amen. That by chance a priest came and he looked upon a wounded man that was dying, that was half dead. And the Bible said that he walked on and never ever even stopped a moment to ask him if he needed help. And the same situation happened with a Levi. And likewise, amen, what that likewise means to me tonight is by chance a Levi walked by also. But the Bible said a certain Samaritan came by that man. And the Bible tells us that that Samaritan bound up the wounds of the hurting man. That Samaritan took wine and oil and poured it into his wounds and put the bandages on and put him up on his own mule or his own donkey and took him to an inn and paid for the fare thereof. Amen. Can I tell you that this world is full of preachers and churches all across this country, amen, that is not interested in the wounded. They're not interested in those, amen, that have been ravaged by hell. Amen. They're just there by chance. They're those that just, they're opportunists, if I could say. Amen. But there is a church. There is a certain bride. There is a certain people, amen, that are not just by chance walking by those that are hurting, that are not walking by those, amen, that are just, that have been ravaged by hell, but they got oil in their saddlebags. They've got some wine in their saddlebag, and they're prepared to do a work for God in their day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The priest walked by chance. It was just by chance. Amen. He walked by the man. Amen. But the Levite just by chance walked by. Amen. But when that Samaritan left the house that morning, I just have to believe that he checked his saddlebags. Pastor Bass, I got to believe that before he ever got on his mule, he double checked it. Do I have enough oil? Do I have enough oil? I may meet a wounded man today. I may meet a hurting man today. Do I have the sufficient needs or things in my saddlebag to take care of the needs? What I'm trying to tell you is before you ever leave the house, you better make sure I've got it today. I may meet somebody that's half dead. I may meet somebody that needs a touch from God, and they need it now. They need a Savior. They need a certain man or a certain woman. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord right now. There are countless millions of people just like this poor man in Jericho that had fell among the thieves. There are hundreds and even thousands of people in your city here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. That have been robbed of wealth, that have been robbed of family, that have been robbed of health, that have been robbed of friends by the adversary. Praise the Lord. The book tells us that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his job. That's his purpose. But God said, I've got a purpose, an eternal purpose. Amen. I've got something in mind, and that is I'm going to empower me some people. I'm going to empower a church, and I'm going to give them some wine, and I'm going to give them some oil. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And what God wants each and every one of us to do, amen, to be, is not just by chance people. Amen. But he wants us to be certain men and certain women. Amen. That prepare ourselves. Amen. That when we leave the house, amen, we check ourselves over and say, God, I want you to lead me to that man today that's hurting. Oh, come on, saints of God. Amen. I want you to understand there's so many people around us that have been beaten down by the spirits of this world, by alcohol, by drugs, by the other abusive weapons of hell. Some have become prey to illicit sexual relationships and the perversions thereof. But can I tell you, none of those things, amen, stand a chance against a certain man or a certain preacher or a certain saint that's got some Holy Ghost in them, that's got the
oil in the lamp. That's got the oil in the saddlebag. And that's made up their mind. I'm looking for the wounded. I'm looking for the hurting. I'm looking for somebody that needs a touch of God. I'm looking for somebody that's looking for something better than what they have. Amen. Note carefully tonight. The Good Samaritan. Amen. He didn't just by chance pass by the way. But a certain man. Oh, hallelujah. As he journeyed, came where he was. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. By chance, the priest walked by. Amen. But the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, amen, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he said, that's who I've been looking for. Amen. That's who was on my heart this morning before I ever left the house. Amen. That's who I've got the oil for. These bandages. Amen. I don't have a lot of money in my pocket. Amen. But the 2 pence that I've got, amen, I'm going to take him to the end. I've got to see some help given to this man. I'm telling you that revival is not going to be convenient. Amen. The move of God is never convenient. But it comes to those that are looking. And it comes to those that are searching. And it comes to those that are prepared for a move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Revival is never going to happen by chance. Revival doesn't happen by chance. Scripture says, if you knock, the door will be open. If you seek, you're going to find. If you ask, it will be given. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, that there is certain principles involved here. Amen. When we get involved, God gets involved. And when we become prepared, then God said, I'm going to pour out revival. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've only been pastor 9 months, or how long have I been pastor? She don't know either. Since August of last year, however long that's been. Was it August? Huh? 3 years? Yeah. In an unofficial sense, 3 years. In an official sense, 9 months, or 10 months, however long it's been. You know, but long before I ever began pastoring, I knew from evangelizing and pastoring in an unofficial sense, amen, that revival doesn't come easy. And it's not cheap. And it doesn't just happen by chance. It's the Lord. You know what brings revival? And it's not a program. You know, you may have the best music in Ocala, but that's not what brings revival. God's not impressed by music or a drama team. Or by programs. Praise the Lord. Amen. But, you know, the Bible talks about this being a house of prayer. Praise the Lord. When we were several months ago, the Lord dealt with me to have a series of prayer services. And I started talking about revival, and some of them started getting a little bit excited about it. Man, yeah, let's have revival. Let's have revival. Let's have revival. So I said, okay, we're going to have revival. The next 2 weeks, we're having revival. All right, who's coming to preach? I said, nobody. I said, we're going to pray every night. We're going to have a prayer revival. Because really, before you can ever have revival, you got to have prayer. It doesn't come by chance. It doesn't come just because you get a preacher scheduled. Doesn't come just because you get yourself out of bed or out of your recliner and get yourself dressed and get to the house of God. God loves a sacrifice. But you know what? Amen. Revival is not going to come just because you show up. Amen. The priest walked by. And by chance, he walked by and he just kept on walking. But that man that had been prepared in his heart. Praise the Lord. He was prepared. He had something to give that man. He had something to give him. If you meet the wounded, what do you possess in your saddlebag tonight to give him? What do you have to give the wounded tonight?
What do you have? What do you possess that you can treat those that are hurting and that have been ravaged by hell? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, we're living in a real world where there's real problems. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hadn't been pastoring not even a month, and I had three different families that I was dealing with almost on a daily basis that were on the verge of splitting up. I was about to pull what little bit of hair I'd left out. Praise the Lord. You know what? Amen. We're living in a real world. There's real hurting people. And if we ain't got the goods, friend, amen, we're not going to be able to do anything for them. They're going to go looking for somebody. I'm telling you. But if we want revival, God's going to give the church, the apostolic church, revival. But it's not going to happen with an attitude of a priest or a Levite. But we're going to have to be that certain man that's on a mission. There's a purpose here. There's an eternal purpose God has for the church.
Right.
And it's not financial gain for myself. It's not a better job. It's not a position. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's not me becoming the Sunday school superintendent. But the eternal purpose of the church is to reach the lost. Is to reach the lost. Is to reach the hurting. Is to reach out to those that don't know God and don't have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. This past Monday, I taught for an hour and a half. 1 o'clock. Mondays, I go to a retirement home for lower income elderly people that are not, don't have the comfort of getting or staying in their own homes for long periods of time, or they've got a little bit of money. They don't mind spending the money, and they need the medical attention. It's not a nursing home. But it's something like an assisted living complex. And they told us when we went there about a month or so ago, I preached this message and the Lord began to deal with me. And about a month and a half ago, I went there and began to talk to them about having services there on a weekly basis. And so every Monday at 1 o'clock I teach, and every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock I teach. Amen. And there's two buildings. I teach one on Monday, the other on Thursday. And she said, don't be discouraged if there's only three or four that show up, because that's all that ever show up to any of these things, three or four people. Well, from the first service till now, we've never had under about eight or nine. And we've had as high as 20-something there on any given service. Praise the Lord. And I usually go in there to teach. Amen. There's no reward for this. Amen. Mondays are a very busy day for me. Very busy day for me. Amen. And you know, there's no immediate gratifications, if I could say it. I'm not doing this for myself. Amen. There's nobody there that can financially help me out, Brother Rogers. Amen. I'm not looking for that. But what I said is, God, amen, there's souls right there that are going to be dying lost and going to hell. If somebody don't reach them. Praise the Lord. What's the purpose of the church? Amen. I'm going to tell you as a pastor. Amen. I just feel that the purpose of this man right here reaches beyond just a pulpit. I've got to say, God, there's men out there. There's women out there. There's people out there. And there's men all over this city. And there's women all over this city. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what color skin they have. It doesn't matter if they're rich or they're poor. If they're in the retirement homes or if they're in the daycare somewhere. They've got to have the Holy Ghost. And it's going to take a church that's there on purpose. It's going to take a church that's got a mission that's going to see revival. It doesn't happen by chance.
Amen.
I was there Monday and I taught. I usually always try to limit it to about 35 or 40 minutes because I don't want to Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to wear out my welcome. And for an hour and 30 minutes, I taught. They wouldn't let me quit. As soon as I'd quit, they'd ask me another question. Amen. Started off with one of them saying, amen, I've repented. I got the Holy Ghost before I was ever baptized. This woman don't know anything about Pentecost. She just said, I think it was a Methodist or a Church of God church she went to. She said, all I know is I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues. She said, but I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. She said, is that right or wrong? So I opened the Word of the Lord back up and began to teach her again. Amen. About the essentiality of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a church that's on a mission. Amen. We have Brother Bass just missing. And I'm not telling you we've got it together. I'm just telling you the Lord's been blessing us. And I've understood that the revival just does not happen. It's not by chance. It's not by chance. Every single day from 5 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning, there's people pulling up to our church. Amen. We had a Monday night prayer service for many, many, many months, even years. And I changed that and said, you know what? We can't do it once a week because whatever prayer service you have, that's all some people is ever going to pray. So I said, every day, if you're too busy to take 15 or 20 or 30 minutes out of your time to drive by this church to pray, you're too busy. You've got to get something in your heart that says, God, revival's more important than anything else. It does not happen by chance. I don't want to be harsh or ugly or rude here tonight. And, amen. I hope to God I'm not stepping outside the bounds. I'm just telling you, when it consumes you, when it gets into your heart, amen, when you leave the house on a Monday morning, when I get up, I'm thinking, God, give me something I can say to those elders, amen, that have changed their life. They're almost on the last page of their life. They're going to die lost and go to hell, Brother Roger, if somebody don't tell them the truth. And I told them there Monday, I said, I'm not here for your approval. I'm not here for any finances you can give me. I love you and I don't want to see you go to hell. I'm not here by chance. God sent me here. God put me here. God's letting me teach you. And I want to see your soul saved. Hallelujah. What I'm telling you is you can be here by chance. And you can walk out of this building by chance. And you can live every day of your life by chance. Or you can get a mission. Oh, hallelujah. Or you can get something in you that says, you know what? Hey, man, I'm not going to live my life by chance. I'm going to be a certain Samaritan. I'm going to be that certain man or that certain woman that's got a desire to see God move in this house. So lift our hands right now.
Glory to God.
Come on, somebody pray with me right now.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Revival, it's not by chance. It's not by chance. It's not the will of God that any should perish. We know what the will of God is, but God's saying, I've got to work through hands that allow me to work through them. I've got to work through feet that will allow me to work through them. I've got to work through some people that will live their life not just by chance or probability. But I want a people that's on a mission that understands there's an eternal purpose. An eternal purpose. Musicians, come.
Hallelujah.
Telling you the burden of my heart tonight.
Hallelujah.
Is that God would challenge somebody in this place that's just living by chance. To become a man or a woman that's challenged, that begins to live with an eternal purpose birthed in their lives. You want to know what a revolutionized this local assembly? It ain't a different pastor. It ain't a church facelift. It ain't new carpet or new pews. It ain't a new music director. I'm going to tell you what a revolutionized this city and this church. It's people that have been living by chance that'll get it in their heart to say, I'm going to be a certain man on a mission. I have one lady in our church that has It amazes me every time she shows up. Brother Kasner, she's got, seems like she's got a new person with her. Some Sundays she fills up the pew she's sitting on with 10, 15 people. Herself. She's got a Ford Expedition. You know what she does, Brother Bass? She drives it to the church. She drops one load off and she goes and picks up another load. And she'll bring him back. The other night she told me, she said, "Pastor, if you don't mind, I've got two loads and it's getting late. If we could use the church van." I said, "Sister, anytime. I would drive it myself. There's people around here that will help. Don't ever feel like you got to do this all alone. You got people you need." I'm telling you, it's one person. You know why? Because that one little lady is not living by chance. What if they want it? They'll come. They know where the church is if they want the church. You know what she's on? She's burning those phone lines up. She's going by the houses and dropping by and say, "Hey, listen, you ought to come to church with me." This past weekend, we had two brand new people who had never been in the house of God in their life. In the altar, tears pouring down their cheeks, weeping before the Lord. God touched their life. Amen. God moved in their life. You know why? Because one lady that said, "I'm not living by chance." It's not going to be by chance. But I know revival's here for those that are hungry. I feel when I'm preaching here tonight in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's been preached around here the last few weeks. I'm just telling you what I feel like the Lord laid in my heart. It could it be, sir? Could it be? You've been in the house of God for a long time. But you begin to live by chance. I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm telling you, just like the Apostle Paul told Timothy, this faith that dwelt in your mother and your grandmother, I've seen it, but I'm trying to stir up that gift that lies within you. I don't want you to live by chance. I want to see revival come to your family and your life. I want to see you leave this house tonight on fire for God, and God begin to use you in a mighty way. You don't have to be a preacher to be a soul winner. Oh no. You don't have to hold the position or have a title to be a man that God places his anointing in his hands on. God's just looking for a certain man. God's looking for a certain woman here tonight. I wonder, is he going to find one? I want us to stand all across this building as they begin to play softly. Sing. "I've delivered you my heart tonight." You can continue to live by chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could we pray together right now? I wonder tonight, is the word of the Lord touched any of your hearts tonight? Has the word of the Lord touched your heart tonight? I didn't come to woo you tonight. I can't do that. I didn't come to compete tonight with what you've had. I can't do that. I come to deliver my heart to somebody here this evening. I'm telling somebody here tonight, God's got his hand on you. And he wants to use you in a mighty way. He wants to make you that certain Samaritan. I feel what I'm telling somebody right now in the Holy Ghost. God's got his hand on you, sir. God's got his hand on you, ma'am. Oh, hallelujah.
Touch my heart.
This front of this building's open right now if you want to pray. If you want to walk down the front of this building and lift your hands to God and say, "God, if you can use anything, I want to be that certain man."